My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
As a CEO in Fashion Authority, I know it's the details that truly matter. And when it comes to luxury, every stitch must be perfectly tailored. At Genesis, they've delivered on every element of the GV80. Two-line LED headlamps accentuate an exterior that exudes athletic elegance. Inside, discover an expansive cabin with ambient lighting. Take a close look at the Genesis GV80 and you'll see, luxe is in the details. Hi, everyone. I'm Rachel Zoe, and you're listening to Climbing in Heels. This show is all about celebrating the most extraordinary superwomen who will be sharing their incredible journeys to the top, all while staying glamorous. Today with me, I'm joined by someone we've seen on our TV screens for years. You may know her as your favorite entertainment reporter, best known for her work on E! News and Daily Pop, the wonderful Kat Sadler. Today, she's the host of her own podcast, Kat Sadler Now. Together, Kat and I talk about starting from the bottom, paving your paths for yourself, and how many versions of yourself you've been through while growing up. Kat's also sharing her story about how she bet on herself and left E! After speaking up for equal pay in the workplace. Kat is so impressive. She's such a sweetheart. She's done a lot the old-fashioned way, just working really, really, really hard. And I love this episode, and I hope you do too. So let's get into it. I wanted to talk to you because I love you and I adore you, and we've had an amazing conversation, a few of them, but today I really want to talk about you because I'm very sick of talking about me. So,
well, can I just say, even before that, I mean, I love that you're already, you are such an example of walking the walk because of talking about women that maybe aren't as supportive in this industry or in life in general. Mm-hmm. I was literally just telling my partner, Greg, I was like, Rachel is such an example of women supporting women because, you know, I don't produce as much, you know, in the fashion game, certainly as you do, but like I had my little necklace collaboration or something a couple seasons ago, and you were so kind to like post about it, and you're just organically, intrinsically, like being that female is you. So that is rare, but for people listening, like you didn't gain anything from that. You didn't need anything from me. I wasn't going to do anything for you, but you're just, you are that human. So thank you for being an example of that.
Thank you. I think we've all had experience with people that don't want us to win. And so for me, there's nothing I love more than watching great people that work their fucking asses off win. That is to me, like, that makes me so happy because I feel like people want to cheat. They think this ride can be easier if they do it this way. They think if they know this person, they think if they network with that person. And sure, that can like help with certain situations. Sure. But ultimately, you got to do the work, you know? Yeah. And I think for me, just watching people that deserve to win, win is always like the greatest. I love it. I'm like the cheerleader that was never a cheerleader. I'm like, see my gold lame pom-poms that I don't have.
But like when you do the work, I feel like I think we're all can have imposter syndrome on occasion in different arenas or whatever, especially if we're trying new things. But like, it is a good feeling when you have worked your ass off and you've done it. You know, it's also a reflection of how old I am. But yeah, I've been at it a long time. And I started from the bottom. And I didn't have those connections you're talking about. And I didn't know people in the industry. And so I guess I am certainly that story of somebody who started at the bottom, now we hear kind of thing. I still got a long way to go. But, you know, but I did do the reps and I did do the hard grind for a very, very long time, long before I saw any real rewards from that. So,
well, I want to talk about that. So I'd like to go back for like a second. So you were born where? Like born, raised where?
So I'm an Indiana girl from the Midwest.
You and John Mellencamp.
Yes, exactly. Oh my gosh. Yes. John Mellencamp. He was literally, you know, our only celebrity growing up.
Yeah, I imagine.
In our vicinity, you know, he was like 20 minutes down the road, Rachel, in a little town called Seymour, Indiana. And I'm from a town called Martinsville, Indiana. Oh my God. And so, yes, we all grew up idolizing John Mellencamp. Jack and Diane
Jack
was
and Diane.
Okay, on repeat. That was my high school anthem. But I grew up, you know, I was in the city of Indianapolis for part of that childhood, but mostly city of Indianapolis, small town of Martinsville, Indiana, about 40,000 people. And, you know, of course, this was a time long before we had our phones. So it was like the world just seemed so much bigger then. So even having the permission to dream a dream felt so almost foreign because I didn't even realize the possibilities of even leaving where I was from until I was probably about literally 21 or 22 before I was like, oh, I want out. And what do I want to do with my life?
So did you go to college there as well? Or did you not go to college? You did.
I did. So I went to Indiana University. Mm-hmm. I'm a Hoosier. And I did study journalism at the end of my college career. I finally locked down journalism, broadcast journalism specifically. Little sidebar, my son just started there as a freshman.
No way.
Yes.
He and went so back. He's I'm going to Indiana. Were you dying?
I would.
That's wild.
He's, you know, raised LA boy, surfer guy. And we thought, oh, he won't want to go there, nor, you know, will we like push. His dad also went there. We're like, we won't be pushing that on him for life. Obviously, he needs to carve his own path. And he ends up going there. So it's kind of funny because I go back. Now I'm going home a lot because my son is there. But yeah, I studied broadcast journalism.
So you knew. So was that like, okay, so were you a student or not so much?
Not so much.
Don't worry. 90% of the women that were on here that have been on here were not students. So like, don't. I in no way judge, and nor does anyone listening. And the reason I ask about education is because I really believe that that is no indication at all of your, it may help your path in the beginning one way or another, but I think it in no way defines who you are. And I think, you know, I've had women on here that didn't even graduate high school. So I think, no. You know, yeah. I'm always just a bit curious, you know, I'm always just
yes,
a bit curious.
I think it's fascinating. You know what I was a student of life. I mean, I can't say that enough, like, especially in those years, I was just talking about this on my podcast. I was like, because I'm having all of these feelings now that my son's in college and I'm like, it's taking me back to like being that impressionable young age, mm-hmm. being, you know, how many versions of ourselves have we had since we were 19, right? So I was like, who was I then? What was I thinking? And that's the biggest standout takeaway for me from college was, you know, I had been isolated in this little bitty bubble of a small town where everybody looked the same, everybody mm-hmm. believed the same. Mm-hmm. And so then suddenly, even though Indiana was 20 minutes down the road to go to school, it was an international university. all different people, diverse people, different cultures, different languages. And
you
I just
love that.
Right. I literally, it was my first awakening. It was when I was like, holy shit, life is cool. And I want to explore every corner of this world. It's wow. like the world literally opened up just through my experiences there. So I was a very average academic student. I did love my journalism classes when I finally figured that out. But otherwise, I was just, I was learning in the streets. Yeah. Like literally.
Yeah. Well, I always say I learned more in my first, like, you know, 6 weeks of working than I learned in 4 years in college.
I mean,
you learn life pretty quick once you like, I mean, I moved to New York City and started working for like $75 a day. And I was just like, you know, I'm just going to work as hard as I can. And I love this so much that I can't breathe. So I don't care if I work 20 hours a day, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's so interesting to me because, you know, I didn't grow up in a small, I grew up in a suburb of New York City, but I was 30 minutes from the city. So for me, New York was like my, I feel in many ways that I grew up in New York. So I meet so many incredible women that grew up all over the country in these tiny little towns. And then they go to college and it's like, whoa, it's like the whole world just opened. And I think if for nothing else, then college served you in that way, because I think it kind of opened the doors to life a little bit, right?
Yes, in a lot of ways. And if it weren't for even, you know, speaking of women, like leading women, it was literally an advisor my senior year, this woman who was like, well, if you really want to, like, if Oprah and Katie Couric
the queen.
And these people are your, yes. Exactly. If they are your idols, by the way, you need an internship and yep. you need this. And yep. and I didn't have anybody in my world telling me that. Right. I really just was like a little asleep at the wheel, because I think I had more of a limited mindset back then. And so thank God for that female advisor who was like, you should do an internship. And the first internship I had was at, you know, a TV station in Indianapolis. And so like that really got the ball rolling on.
And were you doing like the 4 a.m.? Like, were you like, you were like there in the dark, right?
All of it.
So tell me about that. So I want to hear about that, because I think everyone knows you as Kat Sadler now, right? Like this, you know, like brilliant, outspoken, fearless, like beautiful, all these things. But like when you're young and starting in that, and certainly I think probably being, were you on air talent at that point?
Well, I forced myself on air before I'd even graduated college, which is kind of funny. But no, I mean, I had to really work at it at that local news
like
station.
Like get coffee and clean up after everyone and do the things.
All the things. I mean, I
hear
really
that, everybody? That. All the things, like everything. Like I had Tracy Cunningham on here a while back, and she was like, I was like making coffee and cleaning sinks. I was literally cleaning hair out of sinks. That's how she started. Like,
oh my God.
This love is what Tracy we do. Cunningham. She's the best.
Love Tracy Cunningham. Yeah, I was that. By the way, I think I had like 3 jobs. I was in a band. I was like an intern at a TV station. I was trying to pay my own rent. I was at that TV station. Like back then you couldn't even like, because we didn't have phones, you couldn't create content like on your phone. No. So I was like spending my every last dime to hire a cameraman, because there were only cameramen back then. And like,
why would a woman hold a camera? That's crazy.
Exactly. It was just such a different time. But I guess the smartest thing I did, and I did a lot wrong, but the smartest thing I did was completely take advantage of my position in the world at that time. And I wasn't going to leave that internship without learning everything. And I was that girl. Like, I don't know. Do you ever look back and like, when did I sleep? Like, I don't know how I did what I did.
Oh, I know for sure I didn't. I have the wrinkles, the bags, I know very well. I slept 3 hours a night for about 20 years, 100%.
Yes.
And yes, still, by the way, and still not much more now, but yes. Yeah.
But it was worth it, right? I mean, because that's
kind
of like what you said. You were like, I couldn't breathe. I loved it so much. Mm-hmm. And that's for me, you know, I feel so fortunate, because, you know, a lot of people spend their whole 20s kind of really, it's scratching their heads about their passion or their you know, what are they going to do with their life? And I understand that. But I fortunately, I kind of had the itch. I knew I wanted to tell people's stories. I knew that communicating, like, I am a speaker. My mom was always like, slow down, you talk too much. Like, I just love the art of conversation. Mm-hmm. And I love telling people's stories. And so it didn't start out as entertainment or celebrity. It started out as just general assignment news, but it was funny because when I even threw that first job at my first local TV station, when I ended up getting like the criminal beat, the crime beat, and mm-hmm. I was chasing fires and I was doing all this as like a 21-year-old, I learned real quick that wasn't what I wanted to do.
Yeah. You're like, more glamorous, please. This is not for me.
Oh,
this,
Rachel,
this terrifying, gritty thing is not for me.
I was in fishnet stockings, I kid you not, in like stilettos, thinking I was so cute. And then they're like, we've got a dead body down at blah, blah, blah.
Oh my God, no.
But I didn't think there was anything beyond that, right? Unless you were maybe, I mean, you may remember this, like the VH1 Top 20 Countdown with Rachel Perry.
Of course.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so that was, I was like watching her and she was so hip and cool. And I was like, how can I take what I've learned about journalism, learned about broadcasting, but not just be on the local news covering these, sorry, but like mundane stories day after day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm sure you've heard this as well. It's like, I'm always telling people, you know, it's often what you don't want to do that teaches you what you do want to do. And I was like, I don't want to go that. I want to like merge my love of fashion and beauty and film and music and all
being
that.
Being a woman,
yeah. How can that be a part of what I do every day? And so it took a while. I mean, mind you, so I went from Indianapolis, then I was in San Francisco. I was on air there for about 4 years.
A little more glamorous, San Francisco.
It was. Oh my gosh. Rachel, like this is an Indiana girl who'd never lived anywhere else.
So you must have died. That must have just been like San Francisco is like, I mean, not right now. It's not in a great state, but it's an incredible, magical place. I mean, let's be real.
It's magical.
Yes.
I think that's when I fell in love with California also. I mean, mm-hmm. the ocean and the mountains.
You're like, is this just, real?
I would have done that job for free. I actually would have.
A billion.
I was so on fire for life in California. And then I got this job as kind of like the features, like beat reporter as a 22-year-old, my first job, full-time reporting job. And I was like, you know, best days of my life. That for me was more of my college experience. Mm-hmm. That first TV job where I just grinded every day. I produced everything. I booked everything. I helped edit everything. I did my own glam. I did my own outfits. It was like, that was my school.
I was going to say, but that was your boot camp, right? Because like, that's what I try and teach younger people, not to sound like I'm 80, but I'm just like, what you don't understand is the more that you do, because I hear so many like young people, like 23, their first jobs. And they're like, I'm so tired. I'm working so much. They want me to work on a Saturday. And they're texting me on a Saturday at 4 o'clock. And I was about to go to yoga. And I'm like, what you don't understand is this is your grad school. This is your, you will do anything after this. You will be prepared for anything. The more they pile on you, the more responsibility you have, the more training you get, and the more you know for the next step. And I think it's hard to know that until you're put in that situation, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think like, it's so interesting, and I love hearing that you did that because, you know, I think now, you know, TV is very different, you know, entertainment in general is so different. I mean, you must be, it's like me with the fashion world. I'm like, someone's like, how's the fashion world changed? I'm like, shouldn't it be, how hasn't it changed? What do you mean? Like, and I the way we consume, you know, media and everything else. But I think for you, so, okay, so hold on. I want to pause for a second. So when did you meet your husband or first husband? As a CEO, fashion authority, and mom, I know it's the details that truly matter. And when it comes to luxury, every stitch must be perfectly tailored. That's why driving the sleek Genesis GV80 is such a luxurious experience. The SUV's exterior design, including two-line LED headlamps, exudes athletic elegance. When you sit inside the expansive GV80 cabin, you can customize the ambient interior lighting to match your current mood, a feature that makes driving in LA a more relaxed and serene experience. So go ahead, take a close look at the Genesis GV80, and you'll see Lux is in the details.
Great question. So I met Kyle when I was 19. So we met
by the way.
College. Same. Yes.
You met
in
college.
We didn't have a fairy tale like you, though.
I mean,
it's actually pretty good, all things considered. But we met when, we were super young. And then when I got that TV job in San Francisco, Kyle also came out there. And then my first son was born when I was there working in San Francisco.
Very young.
Yes. Yeah. I was 25 at that point, okay. But yes.
I mean, today, doesn't that sound like 17?
I know. It does.
It does, right? But wait, okay. So you're young. All right. So you had a child. You're working like crazy and married and living in San Francisco. Were you just like...
So here's kind of what happened. This was a pivotal moment, you know, those big life things that happen. And we all have a couple of them that are like really major. Yeah. And with Austin, my firstborn son, I had Austin and then I had like, what, maybe a 2-month maternity leave or something, maybe 3 months if I was lucky. And, you know, I did absolutely love my job. I loved being on air every day. I loved that there was a new, like every day you got a reset. If it sucked, if you didn't do great, you'd get a brand new slate every day, live TV. I was learning so much. I was reading a prompter. I was like so on fire for, you know, creating. That was my version of creating then. But when I became a mother, I had this overwhelming anxiety as a 25-year-old when I was like, I'm not ready to go back. Mm-hmm. I wasn't ready. And I was having nightmares and I'm skipping a lot of the story. I had a very, very tumultuous first pregnancy. I was on bed rest for 6 months. I was even told like he might not be born.
Major
preterm labor symptoms. So I had even like,
which is so much as a 25-year-old too, it's all so new and scary and life is new and scary. Your job is new and scary. And
yes. So all of that kind of compounded and what that meant was that I was like, I need more time. I'm not ready to throw my brand new baby boy in like some kind of commercial daycare for 60 hours a week while I chase my dream where we're barely affording to like pay our rent. You know, so I had this very big kind of moral decision like to make. And luckily Kyle, I was like, listen, maybe we just pause. I just want 1 year, go back to Indiana, take a year, have this time with my baby boy. And, you know, he got a job transfer. I'm kind of skipping the whole story, but it worked out so that I was able and certainly lucky enough to take a year off. But everyone thought, here's the funny part is that everyone, including my bosses, including all the TV executives, are like, oh, she's done. She's going off to be a mom now. Like she's done. Like let's write her off. You know, of course, she'll be back. Yeah, right. She's a mom. She's a mom. And at the time it was like, that's all you can be then if you're going you know, make that decision. Yeah. And I was so hell bent on like, no, 1 year. And I kid you not, we moved back to Indiana. And on his first birthday, March 8th, I signed my next TV contract. So it was like this beautiful reward for listening to what yourself. I knew my soul and spirit was telling me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I felt like the universe kind of paid me back in kind and was like, you know, your journey and purpose can still be TV. That might be your calling, but I did take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something I talk about a lot with women. It's like, you know, we don't do ourselves any favor when we neglect those voices and when we pretend they're not happening or we keep, you know, you can make yourself sick. You can make yourself ill. You can just like, I'm all for busting ass, but that I'm so glad that I took that year with him that I'll never get back. And then the TV career resumed, but it resumed back in Indiana on local TV again, full time.
Right.
Until E. So that's kind of the story. That was that.
Okay. And then you moved to LA.
Yes. So I had one more child.
Wow.
My second son. We both have two boys. And then that's when I really, really, really got the itch because I was like 30.
You're like, okay.
Yeah, I was like,
well, I think after the second one, the first one paralyzes you, right? Like the first one paralyzes you. Listen, if it makes you feel any better at all, I could not get my head out of my ass for a full year. I could not function. I could not figure out how to leave that baby for 1 minute without feeling like the worst mother ever. And nor did I want to leave him for 1 minute. So I took him everywhere. Did not leave that child until he was like 4 years old. I just took him everywhere. And by the second one, by the time I had Caius, I was in a fitting with Jen Lawrence like 10 days later. And it wasn't, it was more that I psychologically had it figured out. Like meaning the first one turns you upside down. And I think if you're a workaholic and you're going like at full speed, and then all of a sudden this angel baby lands in your hand and just literally paralyzes you. You're like, I can't do anything but look at you and love you, right? And how do you, I think this struggle is for women. I don't want to speak for you, but I know for me, it was who is this person now, right? Like, and how do I go back to that person that everybody wants back when I don't feel like that person right now, right? Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that was sort of the struggle of like, if I only want to do this now, how do I go back to being that person? And the reality of it is you don't go back to being that person. You go back to being a different person, right? A different version of that person. And I think women really, we have to navigate that. I think women with careers and children have to navigate that, right? So
it's just one more thing that we as women, that is certainly a uniquely female thing. Mm-hmm. And yes, I understand that. It's like reconciling motherhood and womanhood. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. How does that look once that becomes your new dynamic? And it's an ongoing lifelong process. I'm still figuring that out.
There's
the different stages, right? When they're the babies and then they're getting older and then mm-hmm. you have a new set of problems. And now my kids just left. I am an empty nester.
That
Rachel,
is
and I'm
wild.
A whole different phase. I mean, wild. It is wild.
That's but wild.
I find myself still asking that same question of, so who am I now?
Right.
It's like we're constantly redefining what that means for ourselves and having to take inventory and remember who we are in all of these different phases.
But don't you feel because instinctually we feel this overwhelming need to prove ourselves over and over and over and over? Mm-hmm. And I don't even know. I mean, I think it's to prove ourselves to us. Like, I don't even know who I'm trying to prove to. You know what I mean? It's more just like, no, you can do this. No, you're not done. No, keep going. You know, it's like what? And I feel like, you know, I'm watching, you know, young children now with my kids and I'm watching the girls and the boys and the whatever. And you see the girls just like overachieving over. And listen, this is generalizations. I'm just saying like I can see even in my friends with young girls, there's just this overwhelming perfectionism and desire to prove and to keep doing more, doing more, doing more, doing more. Right. And I think that stays with us, right?
It does. I will say that, yeah, I think exactly what you're describing is most high achieving women who have dreams and goals. Like that's how we get on. And that is that hamster wheel of wanting to prove to either to ourselves or to other people or to an industry, you know, what we are made of. I will say one of the best parts for me personally about being this middle age season of life that I find myself in, it's the first time where I feel a less of that pressure.
Yeah, you're more at peace.
Well, it's like two things. It's like one, kind of like what you were saying. It's like, if I pause and I like get in a slower gear and I just, you know, right now I moved for the first time in 15 years. I have a new partner and we're merging lives and my kids just left the nest and they moved out of my home. And so I have so much going on. And it's like, I'm also just trying to give myself permission to go, it's okay to be in this gear right now. It's okay to not have a book coming out next week and to not have booked a new TV show. Like I'm actually trying to just be in this space a little bit mm-hmm. and like soften a little bit mm-hmm. because I know I'll ramp right back up to my typical mm-hmm. self, but it is a challenge. And I guess I just think some women do want that permission to be like, I can find some healthy balance of it all.
100%. I mean, it's funny because my sister is an empty nester now, and I'm, and I have these young kids, and I'm literally like, this is wild. Like the empty nest, it's like, what do you wake up? Like what?
Well, my boyfriend has four kids. So
what age are they?
Oh my gosh. 7, 8.
Oh my 10, God.
16.
No.
But girls. But girls, I inherited some girls. So I'm like loving it so much.
That must be so fun.
It's pretty yummy. They're so amazing. And I always say like my kids, these kids teach us, more about ourselves than anything in life.
Best.
So I'm enjoying this season of, I guess they're filling in the gaps a little. If I didn't have those sweeties, I'd be devastated on the floor. Like, what do I do with my life? And bugging my adult kids too much. I'm like literally having to like, okay, don't you just talk to them, put the phone down. Aww, don't text them all day long. God. It's a whole thing. But again, kind of cool. There's a lot of shitty things about aging, but one of the best things is like, wow, I do have a whole lot of my stories still left to write. And I have all of this freedom to create whatever that's going to look like. So that's exciting.
I want to talk about a really pivotal moment that, I don't know that everyone knows, but I certainly know it was a big thing in the industry. And I want to talk about your time on E, because so how long were you on E for?
I was there for almost exactly 12 years.
Wow.
2006 to 2017, end of 2017.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So at what point, and you were obviously on air and adored and obviously so great.
Well, and that's how I got to know you, because I interviewed Rachel backstage in New York Fashion Week. I can tell you how many times. And I the icon that you are, I'll never forget the first time I interviewed you was in your studio, the one on.
I remember it.
You do?
I was showing my spring 2012 collection. Sky was a baby and he was like in the back. I remember. And the models were up on like a platform, right?
Yes.
Was it that one?
Yes.
I remember.
And, those moments, I mean, that's why I loved my job so much, because gosh, what a dream job to have those type of experiences and get so up close to people like yourself and get to connect with all these phenomenal people and go to Fashion Week and travel the world and all that stuff. But yes, so I was there for almost 12 years.
And at what point, so there you are, you're like this star on E, everybody knows you, you're seemingly have the dream job, right? Mm-hmm. And then one day you're like, fuck no, what's going on? So tell me about this moment where you came out and spoke very loudly and proudly, well, maybe not proudly, but very loudly about unequal pay for women.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
It's so interesting. All my decision and departure from E was kind of like a year in the making.
Right.
So because I'd been there so long and I'd been through so many regimes, mm-hmm. I'd been through different bosses and presidents and iterations of E and E News and the Daily 10 and the Daily Pop, all the different shows. And so I'd seen so much. And at the time I had been hired to host a new show, the Daily Pop, in the mornings, and it was live for 2 hours and then still be on set for E News at least a minimum of 3 days out of the five all week long. And so I had kind of inherited double the work, mm-hmm. and I was in the final year of my contract, mm-hmm. there. Cause mm-hmm. for people who don't know, in the TV world, like if you're an on-air quote unquote talent, you do contracts, mm-hmm. 2-3 years at a time. And then you go back to the drawing board, everybody gets involved and you sign a no deal or you have the option to leave. And so I was in the last year of my deal and I got an email from a female executive who was like, hey, can you come to a meeting? It was like this kind of closed door meeting, which felt really unusual. And I knew right away it wasn't about whatever story that she said it was about. I just knew it was about something else. And so we had a meeting in my dressing room and she just said in her words, she's like, I know how hard you are, busting it right now. And I know that your deal's up at the end of the year. And I just want you to know that you are severely underpaid. Those were her words. Wow. Like, it was just like she was doing me a solid. She knew, and she knew it was unfair and that the imbalance was obvious. And so I was like, okay. And I remember being kind of embarrassed because literally, again, back in 2017.
Like, you feel like an asshole, basically. You're just like, yeah. Okay, yeah, of course. Like, what?
I'm like, wait, what? Like, yeah. You know, it didn't matter that I loved my job. It didn't matter that I missed the child doctor's appointments during the week,
right?
Because I was like so loyal to my company and mm-hmm. so committed. And I definitely did do those weekends and those weeks away and those nights. I did that for more than a decade there. Yeah. So I was like employee number one. Like, I was a team player. I had a great attitude. I was doing everything right. And I also knew that I had value or they wouldn't have given me a new show.
Sure.
Right? Like, you don't give me more real estate on air if I'm not good at my job.
No, and there's 1,000 people that would kill for your job. So, like,
well,
yes.
And therein lies the problem, because they know that.
Of
and
course.
So when you go to a corporation and then you say to your agents and your team, when you have this kind of knowledge, I confirmed the information firstly. I started doing my research, as any journalist does, and I was like, okay, yeah, well, shit, this is embarrassing. And then I got angry, because I was like, all they need to do is make it right. And by the way, all they need to do is pay me ballpark.
Yeah, of course.
Of what my counterpart then, mm-hmm. Jason Kennedy, my very dear friend, was making. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't meet me there, Rachel. It was just kind of like one of those things. And so we went back and forth for months about it. And, you know, they weren't moving. And when that became clear to me is when I knew I had a decision to make. I was like, okay. I love my job. This run has, like, I've seen the world. Mm-hmm. But one of my good friends was like, do you bet on yourself? Mm-hmm. If you leave, do you bet on yourself? What about you? And could I exist on my own? And so these are the questions I was asking myself. And the answer was, yes, I do believe in myself. Mm-hmm. And that is something that experience does give you.
Of course.
Because I wasn't, you know, no offense to a reality star who just got plucked off, you know, like, and then suddenly they're like, I've been at this for almost 20 years at this point, which was another reason I think they were like, screw it. We'll just let her go. And, you know, we'll re-up with the 22-year-old mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. All of those many factors.
Which is also hard, right? I mean, that doesn't feel great in any industry.
I mean, they never said that, of course.
Of course not.
It doesn't take much to figure out that they can get anybody to do the job for basically free. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that doesn't have two kids they have to worry about. Who doesn't,
by the way,
you know,
fashion industry was the same. It was the same. Still, probably.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Cora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control?
It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
You don't have to pay people very, you know what I mean? Everybody wanted the job.
Exactly. Right. Like, exactly. And that's that can be really clunky for the people who know their value. Mm-hmm. and want to be paid what they deserved, they deserve in a fair way. So I consulted with some female mentors of mine, and it was really, really scary. I mean, the truth is I decided to leave, but I wasn't necessarily, I mean, not at all. I wasn't meaning for it to become the story that right. it did. I just wrote my truth on my blog.
You were probably terrified.
Right. Of being blacklisted and never, you know, yeah, of course I was so, again, Rachel, this is like Indiana girl from a small town. Yep. I didn't know people like right. on the top floor. I didn't know all yep. the people in New York. Like I didn't have, it didn't run deep within my network really, you know? So
I also think at that time, I think we really were of the belief. And by the way, I want to say with that I actually went freelance and became my own boss when I was 25, very much for this reason, because there was only a finite number of jobs in the industry, right? And everybody, there were hundreds of girls that wanted them, and they would be paid $17,000 a year with no problem and happily go in every day with a smile and heels on. And I took that jump and I was terrified. But I think for you, I think there's that feeling of like, you know, there's a lot of heads of companies that would say everyone's replaceable. And when you have that in your head, it's like, okay, wait, I want to stand up for myself, right? I want to speak my truth. I believe in myself. I know I deserve more than this. But like, what if I'm the only one that believes this? Like, what if I'm out of a job? Like, you had two kids at that point.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Very and by the scary. Way, and I wasn't financially in a situation where I had a partner that was right. taking care of me.
You were single at this point, right? Were you single at this point? Single mom?
Yes. I was newly single. Mm-hmm. I was newly single.
Which is also terrifying.
I mean, you know, it's like we pile it on ourselves, right. don't we? It's like, oh yeah. I'll just be a single mom again, and then I'll just leave my job. And like, I'll tell you though, I mean, for climbing in heels, and the smartest thing I did career-wise was at the time leading up to my departure and decision, I was really paying attention to the change in the landscape, and I was really paying attention to digital content. Mm-hmm. And I was growing on the side, my website and my blog, and I was paying enough attention to the monetary opportunities that come from that side of the world, in the entertainment, celebrity, beauty, fashion, digital space, mm-hmm. that I was educating myself. And so I had enough of some momentum on just my digital offerings. And I was like doing some other things on the side, which by the way, E was not happy with. And that was one of the things that they kind of condemned me for doing. It's like, well, you're already doing and growing these other things on the side. Well, so punish us as women for doing that. Right.
Single mom.
For surviving. Cool. Like, thank God I did. Right. Thank God I did, because I don't know if I could have left. So I had enough momentum there to go, I've got to bet on myself and I got to see where this lands. And then thank God I did, because, you know, from a kind of deep spiritual lens, I really do believe that my exit positioned me in a way that I didn't ask to be like a poster child of equal pay, right. but what it did do is allow me to connect with all these young girls and all these women around the world who were fighting for equal pay and hated their jobs and couldn't leave their jobs, mm-hmm. you know? So like, I can't tell you how many of them I heard from, like, please fight this fight. Please use your voice. You do have reach, like mm-hmm. keep going for us. And so then I felt this obligation to do that. And I spent that whole first year after I left really leaning into that. And I felt so lucky. Yeah. I mean, it was such a shitty situation. And yes, I was angry and I felt really taken advantage of, but like, then that quickly turned into, well, how can I use this for good? And it really was great to do that.
I mean, I was so impressed. I was like, okay. I thought it was amazing. And listen, I think also for you and your brand and everything you're doing, I think it just really gave you even that much more amplification and power, honestly. And I think it also made people look at you in a different light, you know? And, you know, I think sometimes journalists, no matter what they're on, you know, can get people say things, people, they think they're this like person just dying to be on TV sometimes or whatever. And there's just so much to you. You're so smart. You're so ambitious. You're so driven. You've certainly climbed in a really, you know, with grit. And integrity. And, you know, I would argue to say that in all of this, I think being a single mom is probably one of the hardest parts of all of it. When you add layers of a career to that, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And you look amazing. You've always looked amazing, I would say.
Yeah, but so. Did you hear my other news? I had a little.
I did hear this. I didn't see it because I don't know why I didn't see it. But like, I'm also so squeamish, so I probably wouldn't have. But so I want to talk about that because you look beautiful. You started beautiful, but you look beautiful. You look very rested.
Thank you. Well, good. I'm glad because I am very, very happy with my results, I will say. I mean, another kind of terrifying thing that I didn't think at 48 that I was like, I wasn't like hell bent on getting a facelift or anything. It wasn't something I thought about for a long, long time. But then when I did realize it was an opportunity and I talked to my doctor, now I'm like, thank God I did. Now I'm so happy.
Now you're so happy. You're so confident, right?
Yeah. I'm happy.
I mean, listen, that's.
Now it's like the outside matches the inside. I was spending a little too much time looking in the mirror thinking I was tired or even a little sad or like, you know, your mouth's like going down. It's like, but I'm happy and I have all this vitality and I like love life. And so, yeah, I kind of went for it. It's a much bigger deal than I had anticipated. Like I was down and out for like 2.5 months.
Yeah. It's a really big deal, which is why I haven't really seriously, I dream about it and I want to do it. And I talk to myself about doing something really like exciting and drastic so that again, I don't look so freaking tired all the time.
Look amazing. Oh, first of all,
I love you.
Like honestly, you are such goals. Everything about you is goals. So you are the I don't want to hear that, but I know how that feels. Like it matters how we feel.
Yeah,
right?
It does. But it's also like, how do I have 2 months to disappear? Like how?
Well,
like what?
That's the thing. I'm 4 months post. I think right now, four almost 5 months post.
In fact, that's how I heard about it. I heard about it through a public woman who I was talking to, and she's like, I'm coming to LA. I'm going to Kat's doctor. And I'm like, Kat who? They're like, Kat's other. Have you seen her? I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, she looks unreal. I'm doing this. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I got to call her. And they're like, oh, no, she documented it. She's very open about it. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. What? But you look incredible. And I think, look, my theory about this is everyone has to do what makes them feel more confident. And aging is not easy. And anyone who says it is, I'm going to just call them out. But by the way, bless them. If they think it's easy and they're aging gracefully and beautifully and peacefully, I think they're my idol. It is not easy. Yeah. It is not easy. None of it is easy. The only thing I would say is easy is where you are in your mind is the easiest part and your peace, right?
Yeah. Like you, I think know yourself maybe better than you ever had. You've been in your body for longer, obviously. I'm liking to challenge this idea of growing old gracefully, right? We were always like told that's the way to age gracefully. But what does that mean? Like for me, gracefully doesn't mean like falling over, rolling over and just accepting how it has to be on your face or wrinkles or whatever. Like for me, like, why can't growing old gracefully mean stepping into your power? Yeah. And again, not hiding from who you are and who you want to be. And I've always said, you know, I've done all of this internal work and I do my hot yoga and I do my therapy and I write my journals. I read my books. Like I'm very much on that grind and journey also. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I have this kind of inner peace more than I've had in decades. But then the flip side is then this exterior stuff is just a gift to myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm not doing it because I'm self-loathing or I think I'm
horrid. It's not like an insecurity thing. It's actually just so that you look in the mirror and you waste so much less time covering things in your face and like staring in the mirror going, wouldn't I look better if I was like this? Wouldn't I look better if my neck was tighter?
I know, the damn neck. Like, let's be honest.
The damn neck.
It sucks.
The neck.
The damn neck.
The damn
neck. That's the biggest thing. The biggest change for me was like my neck and jaws. Like, it makes such a difference.
It's a thing.
And then the day comes where, you know, I realize the day is going to come where it's like, I don't want to do this every 10 years. And I will have to just accept that I'm probably going to be a grandmother. You know what I mean?
Like, of course.
And that's okay.
That's okay.
That's okay too. You know, and I look forward to that. But for now, at this moment, at this age, it felt great.
And I would say to that too, the grow gracefully, because I do want to touch on that for a second. I compare it a little bit to this sort of expectation of women having children, right? And this sort of like trajectory of like this unspoken script of like graduate college, meet your guy, get married, have children, the whole thing, right? I think that's all changed, right? I think that's all changed. It's like I said to you, having a baby at 25 all of a sudden feels like 17, right? And I got married young. I got married at 25, which also, again, feels like 17. But it's interesting, and I think no path is the same, and I think no one's approach to aging is the same, and I don't think that there's a right or wrong to it. And I think, you know, I think if people don't ever want to touch their face, I have friends that have never gotten Botox. Okay, great. Godspeed. Love you. That's yeah. your truth, right? But I think for me, I am definitely someone who would like to try to fight that process, you know, fight the process gracefully, honestly, if that makes sense. And I think take care of your skin, do whatever makes you look in the mirror and feel better about yourself, right?
One life. It's yeah. like
no right or wrong, no judgment.
No judgment. And I love what you're saying. You're like, I let any woman do what is right for her.
That's right.
But that also means in exchange, please allow me to do what I want to do with my face. It's my face. It's my life. And it really stops there. Like, you get to decide.
Yeah.
And it is. We live once, people. It's yeah. just like.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So Kat, so now what? So you're an empty nester. You have a new love with four children, girls, which is amazing.
Well, two of the four girls.
So maybe yes. I'm going to leave Roger, meet a new guy, and find a guy with daughters so I can have some. I think I'm going to get my daughters via like granddaughters or something, because I've contemplated selling my archives. And I had lunch with a friend of mine yesterday from London. He was one of the biggest like vintage dealers forever. And I was like, I'm selling everything. I don't want it. I have boys that don't care. I have a niece that couldn't care less about fashion. What am I doing? And he's like, you're getting it via granddaughters. You have to save it. I was like, oh my God. So.
Oh wait, that reminds me, Rachel, because my partner is Greg Alterman, who started and founded Alternative Apparel. Years and years, you know, he was the t-shirt guy.
God.
And that's when he was like, oh, I know Rachel's like years ago,
God.
She came in. And I was like, I'm sure like she's put alternative t-shirts on people over
yes,
the years.
Yes, of course.
But he started that company and wow. ended up selling it, but that's his business. So
wow.
all of the little random cross,
love him.
cross pollination in this town. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So you look blissfully happy. You look rested. You are an empty nester living like this other chapter. What now? What's next? Yeah. What's your biggest like focus, or is it just on you right now? Like, I know you're working obviously,
listen,
but like,
no, I have my weekly podcast, mm-hmm. which I do put a lot of time and energy mm-hmm. and love into. It's mm-hmm. called Kat Sadler Now,
yep.
where I'm continuing to have these conversations, of course, like this, that have mm-hmm. space that yep. like so different from TV, where we can like actually converse yep. and have some meaning behind what we're talking about, which I do love. Mm-hmm. My passion is really beyond just the facelift. I mean, the reason the whole facelift came up was because
my passion is really beyond the facelift. Sorry, that sounded funny. My passion is really beyond the facelift. But okay. That's your newfound passion.
No,
I'm kidding. It's just the way it sounded.
No, but the reason the facelift came to be at all was because I had this video series I was doing called Midlife and Me. And
got
I
it.
Was and am interested in exploring what it means to be at this stage of life mm-hmm. and all that comes with it, whether mm-hmm. it's the physical stuff, whether mm-hmm. it's God, this hormonal mm-hmm. crap wreaking havoc in my body, whether it's this existential, like, who am I? Who do mm-hmm. I want to be for the second half of my life?
Yep.
What there's so much that women are going through. People can't sleep anymore. We, you know, we feel bloated. Like it's like, there are just so many layers to it. And I find it fascinating. So, mm-hmm. I mean, to answer your question, I would like to do some more deep dives mm-hmm. into helping women get more information to them and go through some experimental type situations to you know, still have my journalist hat on, but kind of help women in that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm playing with some things. I have some projects. I would like to return to television in a more meaningful way, not the 5 days a week mm-hmm. entertainment news, mm-hmm. but I do think that's where I belong. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of getting my producer hat on mm-hmm. and I'm, you know, got some show ideas mm-hmm. and I'm kind of in that phase of probably really taking that more seriously now that I've gotten everybody where they need to be in my life.
Check.
You know,
check.
Like you're yes. in your apartment, you're in college, and now I'm here. So now wild. I can go back to, you know, my work a little bit. That's where I'm really interested in that space.
Well, I adore you. I'm so impressed with you. You are very respected and adored by many, you should know. And yeah, I love talking to you. I always love talking to you. So, and you know, I'm very excited for what's next. And I'm also excited if, you know, you're just kicking ass at your podcast because, you know, I think just do whatever makes you happy, right? And you have a lot to offer. So, you know, I'm excited to see what you
do. Well, it means a lot that we're doing a swap because you are going to be on my podcast soon. And
I love
so
it.
I can't wait to, I like you. What I love about like being in this business so long is like, you know, I've seen you also along your way on all your different iterations. And it's fun to like, go, okay, what's going on today? And it's like a check-in. So, yes. So I can't wait to like turn the tables a little bit and talk to you, but I am always, always rooting for you and such a fan of you. And I just, thank you for being a light and just so authentically you. It's so awesome. Aww.
Well, I adore you. I mean, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. You're on fire, lady. It's that time in the show when I answer two listener questions. So let's see what we have today. Your boys seem to be animal lovers. Are you? Do you like lizards and snakes? This is the funniest question and a very easy answer, actually. I am an animal lover. I'm not someone who fills my house with animals only because I want to be fair to the animal. And, you know, I had a dog in my 20s that I ended up leaving behind in New York City with my mother, and she lived her best life for another 15 years after I left because I was living my very jet set career life and knew I couldn't be a present dog mom. So we have a dog, Goldie Sunshine, and we're obsessed with her and we love her. And yes, it is like having a third child. Always doggy guilt all the time. So I am an animal lover, but I don't know that that includes lizards and snakes, in all honesty. And the answer to that is I would never allow a lizard or a snake or any kind of reptile or small furry creature in my house. Not because I don't think they deserve to live, but I don't think that I have to live with them. Hope that answers the question. Okay, what should I wear to a cocktail party in fall? You know, I think cocktail at this point has so many definitions. I literally think that depending on where you live and the vibe of the person hosting, I think you really dress for that. You know, of course, I can say, oh, your favorite little black dress, because that is the easiest solution to any cocktail party. But I think the idea for fall is that, you know, the little black dress has become a trouser. It's become a midi. It's become a pencil skirt or a slip dress. It's become, you know, a polished pair of denim trousers with, you know, a little sparkly top could be cocktail. So I think it really depends on the venue, on the host, on the theme, if there is a theme. But I think ultimately cocktail party is whatever you make it. And I don't think there's necessarily a wrong, but I would say please don't wear sneakers to a cocktail party because then it's not cocktail. Don't forget to submit your questions for next week's episode. All you have to do is DM us your questions to @ClimbingInHeelsPod on Instagram, and I might just answer your question. I want to thank Kat so much for coming on the podcast. I loved hearing about how she started. It's been a long road for her. She's a young mom, got married young. She started in journalism very young, found her passion in college where the world opened up for her, and how she worked incredibly hard to get to where she is today. And that means doing the jobs that no one else wants to do. And I mean that. That's like the old-fashioned way. Just put in the work. I also love hearing guests talk about their celeb inspirations growing up and, you know, how they've become that for others now. And I think Kat's very inspirational for people coming up in the journalism, you know, space. And like Kat, Oprah was definitely probably one of my very first female idols, honestly. And every word she said and still says today, I fall on. So I understand that very much. Anyway, if you want more Climbing in Heels content, follow me on @RachelZoe and @ClimbingInHeelsPod on Instagram for more updates on upcoming guest episodes and all things Kira Tour. And I will see you next week. Mwah.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.